I invite you to please turn over to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. I have two verses for my text today. And they are verses 7 and 8. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 and verse 8. I pick it up in the middle of a sentence, but it says, "And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their ungodly deeds." I believe we all know that the circumstances and conditions around us have an impact upon us. Whether we know it or not, our environment exerts an influence. For example, I work a part-time job. I'm only there 3 hours a day, but lately I've been subjected to a great deal of cursing. A couple of weeks ago, something didn't quite go my way, and without thinking, one of those curse words went through my mind and out my mouth. Now, I don't normally speak that way, nor do I think that way, but on that day I did. Now, where did that come from? It filtered into my unconscious mind through my circumstances. We must acknowledge that this is a very real threat, that unconscious impact. Studies have been conducted about such influences. Benedict Carey writes in the New York Times regarding the impact of violent video games. Quote, "Playing the games can and does stir hostile urges and mildly aggressive behavior in the short term. Moreover, youngsters who develop a gaming habit can become slightly more aggressive, as measured by clashes with peers, for instance, at least over a period of a year or two. A dose of violent gaming makes people act a little more rudely than they would otherwise, at least for a few minutes after playing." End of quote. Eileen Kennedy Moore, writing for Psychology Today, says, and I quote, "The American Psychological Association has released a new 2015 report on violent video games. Based on a thorough review of recent studies, the report concludes the research demonstrates a consistent relation between violent video game use and heightened aggressive behavior, aggressive cognitions, and aggressive affect, and reduce pro-social behavior, empathy, and sensitivity to aggression," end of quote. According to Alice G. Walton, even social media exerts an influence. Quote, "The American Academy of Pediatrics has warned about the potential for negative effects of social media in young kids and teens, including cyberbullying and Facebook depression. But the same risks may be true for adults across generations," end of quote. And what about the old television? Doctors Diana and Barry Zuckerman write in a pediatrics journal, and I quote, "Television has a major impact on children's knowledge, attitude, and behavior. Research has demonstrated the association between television viewing and four areas. One, children's aggressive behavior. Two, racial and sex role stereotypes. Three, decreased interest in reading and school activities. And four, poorer health habits and attitudes," end of quote. Finally, consider all the advertising which is seen while watching TV and all the advertising you're exposed to day by day on the radio or the internet or whatever. Dr. Art Markman writes in Psychology Today, and I quote, "The problem is that we allow advertisers to have access to our mental world. They have paid for the opportunity to slip information to us about what feels good. That information ultimately affects the way we make choices, whether we know it or not." End of quote. My experience with poor speech a few weeks back only emphasized something that I had read in a book entitled The Man in the Mirror. Patrick Morley writes, and I quote, "Media and advertising relies heavily upon subliminal suggestions. Our problem may be more what our unconscious minds are exposed to than how our conscious minds operate." He goes on to say, "Perhaps the only way to overcome this dilemma is to reevaluate our sources of environment and information." End of quote. In other words, what we're exposed to. All of this is nothing new. All of this reminds us of the impact of our society and circumstances and that what it has upon us. And Christians are not exempt. It is then necessary to be reminded of this easily overlooked principle. And so it is my objective to discuss this matter. And the title of my message today, rooted in our text, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 and verse 8, the title is Worldly Influence. That's what we see here, and we need to learn it well. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the day and the privilege of being in your house. Lord, just speak to our hearts through your word. Help us to learn from these things that we might be better servants because of it. And we do pray if there's any in our midst that are lost, that you would convict them of their sin, grant repentance and faith today that they might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And we'll give you the honor and the glory and the praise for what you've done and for what you're going to do. Lord, we ask that you just bless your word. Speak to our hearts. Cause us to honor you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Look into our passage. We want to read these verses just momentarily again. Then we'll come back and I'm going to give you some information and an exposition and then an exhortation. First of all, verse 7 and verse 8, and it says, "And he delivered just Lot." Notice this description, "vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." And what we have is an introduction of a fellow by the name of Lot. The biblical information, which is simply a background that I would like to offer you, is this. Our passage involves a fellow by the name of Lot, and he was Abraham's nephew. And I remind you that in that process of time, these two men had to split ways because they were both very prosperous. And Abraham gave Lot the choice of where to live. And Lot chose the well-watered plains near the Dead Sea. Now the Bible says that he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Genesis 13 will tell you that. The problem with that is that Lot is seen as a godly man, while the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly, the Bible says. So our passage speaks of the influence that that world had upon him. Is there a worldly influence? Absolutely. Perfect example is our text. So let's notice then the biblical exposition. Let's see what this verse holds for us. First of all, I submit unto you that we find or see two categories of people. We have in verse 8, the first part of that verse, a reference to Lot, and he's called a righteous man. That word righteous in the text comes from a Greek root word which means to be just, to be righteous, or to be equitable. In use of persons, it is to be a righteous individual. And so certainly this is a very accurate translation here. That righteous man, this is a just man. So we have those who are just. I believe we can make an application that these are those who are saved. If you're saved today, you would be considered to be a righteous man, a righteous woman. But opposed to that, we see another category, and that's found in verse 7, that last word of the verse, where it talks about the wicked. That word wicked actually means to be lawless, those who are unrestrained, a licentiousness. And when we look around our society, we see obvious segments of our society that are a lawless bunch. They just do whatever they want, however they feel. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody is absolutely lawless. Certainly as sinners and you know, lost sinners, there are some restraints, but the fact is they're still lost. And so you can equate the wicked here as those who are unsaved. So we have two classes of people really expressed in our text, those who are righteous and those who are not righteous, those who are saved and those who are lost. In the text, it speaks of those who are righteous and those who are wicked. Now, does the wicked people have an influence upon the righteous? Will they impact us? Well, my speech a couple weeks ago is evidence that it will. But notice then, secondly, though, I want to bring out in this passage that here what we find in this text is that a righteous man dwells in the midst of a wicked community. See that in verse 8, the first part of that verse? For that righteous man dwelling among them. And so this is a man living among a righteous man living among the wicked. Just out there doing what they do, see what they are saying and hearing what they are saying. And participating even and giving approval of some of the things that they do. Now, the Scripture tells us that they are the wicked. We've already defined that, but I want you to notice also in verse 7 what it is that he sees and what is it that he hears and what is he being exposed to day by day as he lives among this wicked community. Well, in verse 7 it says he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Now, that word conversation in the text means a lifestyle. It is a mode of life. It is a matter of conduct, deportment. And so, these people, this is who they are. This is how they live. It is their lifestyle. And he says that this is the filthy lifestyle of the wicked. That word filthy in the text means an intemperance. No control, no restraints. It's a licentiousness. It is a lasciviousness. And you might have to look those words up in the English dictionary. But this is just a matter of people who are corrupted, and they're morally corrupt. They're practically corrupt. I mean, all that they do, their mind is corrupted. Their thought patterns, their worldview, everything about them is, well, what do you expect? They're following their natural depravity. And so we already read, and I gave you that text, that when he moved to this area, that these people were considered to be wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And we're familiar with Sodom and Gomorrah and the events of those societies back then. And so we can well imagine all the things that Lot is being exposed to, as we find in the text described in 2 Peter by Peter himself, that states that this is the filthy conversation or the filthy lifestyle of those who are wicked. And Lot is living in their midst. The third thing that derives from this is that he chooses to dwell there and at least to stay there. And maybe when he went over there, he didn't know, but after he knew, he chose to stay. And so that's where we find Lot, dwelling in their midst. We also find in this passage, in the fourth aspect, that living there, he observes their wickedness. Didn't we find that within the passage in verse 8? It says, in seeing and hearing. And so he saw their deeds. The word in the language means the act of sight, the act of seeing. You see things every day. You're seeing things right now. And so Lot, living among these filthy, wicked people, saw the things that they did. And he heard, the Scripture tells us, in seeing and hearing. And that word means exactly that. It is to hear or to listen. And so he not only heard the cries and the things that they did, but he also heard their accounts of them. You ever do that? I mean, I've been in a machine shop for 30 plus years, and you know, you walk by and you can hear all sorts of things. You can hear the rough language, you can hear the bad jokes, you can hear them telling about what they did over the weekend. And you're just walking by, but you get an earful sometimes. That's the way they do. And here's Lot dwelling in the cities that are very exceeding corrupt. And he saw and he heard. Is there an influence? Absolutely. And you'll notice the Bible tells us very clearly in verse 8, that latter part of the text, that he does so on a continual basis, from day to day. I've been in those shops, I said, for many, many years. 30 plus years I've been in machine shops. And I've heard my share of cursing. And even where I work, I've heard my share of cursing. But it's never been an issue until the last 2 or 3 weeks. And that's just like it's just a constant flow. And they can't say a sentence without saying things that they ought not to say. That has really oppressed my spirit. That has vexed my soul. Why? Because I see and I hear. Day after day after day. Constant. I'm only there 3 hours. You'd think it wouldn't be that bad. And this is Lot. This is the way he is. And this is his entire life. This is where he lives. And he sees all these things. But I want you to notice how this impacts him. In the fifth point of this exposition, being righteous, those things afflict or torment his soul. And I think this needs to be understood. I would express it this way: it grieves his spirit. But more than that, I want you to notice the word. In verse 8, it says, "For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing," notice it says, "vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Vexed his soul. He vexed his soul. Now the thing is about this word vexed, you wouldn't know this from the text, but in the original language, this word means to examine or to try, often by the means of torture. When we arrive at our Sunday afternoon service this afternoon, we're going to be discussing the book of Revelation, and we're going to talk about the fifth trumpet. And if you remember anything about the trumpets, in this fifth trumpet, locusts come out of the earth and they torment men for 5 months. That word torment is the same word that's found here, used by Peter, and it is the word that means to try or to examine by torture. So in the New Testament scriptures, it's often translated as the word afflict or to torment. And so if you heard of any of stories about prisoners of war that have been tortured, there you got the word. Now this is what says in the text, that he vexed his righteous soul. His soul was tortured. His soul was tormented by these things. It just wasn't, that kind of bothers me a little bit. I don't see that in that word, do you? I see it much more than that. He was tormented day after day after day. Now, I would submit, and I think it's necessary to digress for just a moment. I submit that he wasn't tormented over all the things, because not all things are evil. And you consider that he might have approved of some of those things or didn't see anything wrong in some of those things. So as he lived among these wicked people day after day after day, even though they were doing wicked things, he didn't always see everything that they did was wicked. Further, I would submit unto you that he may have become callous to some things, and he was no longer sensitive to them. You ever done that? You ever recognize that? It happens in our society all the time. And from the 60s on, we've just gotten, we got used to this in the 60s, and so the 70s is a little bit worse, and in the 70s we were offended by it, but then we kind of got used to that, and then in the 80s, we were used to the 70s, but 80s things come up and we're offended by those things, but we get used to that. What it is we become callous to it. We see it so much, we're kind of used to it. And that's what's happened in our society, by the way. There are things today that 25 years ago, every one of us would have been shocked. But now it's acceptable. And nobody cares. Do you know why? Because we become insensitive to it. We've been desensitized. And I believe that that was part of Lot's problem, is because he lived in that condition day after day and he saw it over and over and over, that part of that is he became insensitive to it. And that's not as bad as what I've seen. And so some of those things, I believe, he just accepted. Some things he approved of, no doubt. I mean, I guess it's possible if I heard enough bad language and I might say, well, that's okay, I guess, as long as they don't use this word or that word. It all offends me. The truth is that wrong and evil is still sin, even if we don't recognize it as sin. And when I mentioned unto you at the very beginning that our problem is that we've allowed things into our life that we don't even recognize as sin anymore. And so we've become desensitized to it. We're insensitive, and we used to believe it was wrong, and we don't see it wrong anymore. And so we allow this stuff to come upon us and afflict us, and we subject ourselves to it, and it's impacting us, and we don't realize that it is. That's the danger, isn't it? He vexed his righteous soul from day to day, it says in the text. I also then mentioned the next point, which is point number 6, the continual onslaught of sin just simply wore him out. Now, how do I know this? Well, you wouldn't know it from the King James, but if you back up to verse 7, it says, "And deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked." That word vexed is a different word than the word we just saw in verse 8. This word for vexed in verse 7 means to exhaust by labor or suffering. It is to wear out or to oppress. And so you go out and you work, you get out early in the morning, you work, and you work hard, you work all day, and boy, at the end of the day, you're just exhausted. You're sick and you're in the hospital bed and you've been in there for weeks and you just get worn out with it all. We understand what that means, don't we? That's what that word is. That word vexed in verse 7. And so what happened is he saw these things and heard these things day after day after day. It hurt his soul. It tormented his soul so much so that he's worn out with it. And so he vexed his righteous soul from day to day. And so we see in that text, he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. He was wore out with it. I wonder why he doesn't leave it. But yet he chooses to live there. And he's so worn out with it. I told somebody the other day at work, I said, if I have to, I'll quit. I will. If they won't change that, and if they don't correct that, I don't have to work there. And so he's worn out with it. So let me submit unto you before we reach the biblical exhortation. And I'm just going to enumerate these statements. From this account, I believe we learn some things. Number one, I believe we learn that there is still right and wrong. There's moral and immoral. Whether we've changed our views and raised the bar or lowered the bar, there's still right and wrong. There's still moral. There's still immoral. Number two, sin's presence always impacts our souls. Always. Even if I hear the language on an occasional basis, it will always impact me. See it on television, and they do that. I mean, they curse like sailors on TV. We don't even pay attention to it, do we? We're so accustomed to it. That's all we hear, right? Well, turn off the channel. You know, mute it. Do something. Sin's presence always impacts our souls. Always. It's the worldly influence. It really is. And we need to recognize that the world does have an influence upon us and it will impact us. And that's important that we know that. Number three, sin oppresses or sin afflicts or torments the Christian. I believe that it does. Problem is we got to the place where we accept sin so much it don't torment us like it should. May God grant us grace to be more sensitive to righteousness. Number four, the Christian can get worn out by sin. They can. It can flat wear you out, being around that, hearing it, seeing it. It can wear you down. Number five, the Christian should be aware of his surroundings and guard his heart. Be aware of it. Recognize it. And guard your heart. I'll list some things later that just in passing as an application. But guard your heart. Number six, the Christian should be sensitive to evil and remove himself from it. May God grant us grace to do so. I know that's not easy. But may God give us the grace to do that. That's the text. And I see a worldly influence that's being exerted upon Lot so much so that it tells us that his soul is tormented to the extent he's just worn out with it. That's Lot. And that's worldly influence. That's what it will do to you and to me. It will. So let's look at a few biblical exhortations. You're already here in 2 Peter chapter 3. So first of all, go over to chapter 3, 2 Peter 3, we're in chapter 2, go to chapter 3. I believe that there's a warning of the influence of those about us. We are warned. Now, there are other things in Scriptures. I didn't look at every verse and try to get everything that I could come up with. But I just wanted to let you know that people around us will have an impact upon us. And we'll look at a few verses that teach that in a moment. 2 Peter 3, verse 17, Peter writes at the end of his letter and says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. I see Peter warning them about you that's around you. You see it. Don't be led astray with that. Don't be throw the baby out with the bathwater. That kind, you know, don't be caught into that. You remain strong in your own steadfastness, and you grow in grace, verse 18 says, and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I believe that our society around us can impact us, and they do it all the time, and we don't even realize it much of the time. Go, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Very clearly stated, you won't have any question what I believe about this. Sin will influence us. It will. Every time. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 53. Just a simple verse, but you go, wow, I didn't know that. And it's not 1553. Now I've got to think of where it's at. Well, let me tell you the verse. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Where is that? Evil communication corrupts good manners. I wrote the wrong reference. But let me tell you that verse. In fact, I might be able to find it. I don't know. Because I will. 1533? That'll work. 1533. Yeah, I wrote 53 in my notes. Thank you, brother. Sin will influence. There it is. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Don't let that mistake throw you off from the intent of the message. Don't be distracted. What's it say? Evil communication corrupts good manners. First of all, the word communicate is exactly the word for communication. It is to converse. Language back and forth. Evil communication. What will evil communication do? It will corrupt good manners. The word corrupt means to spoil, to ruin, to corrupt. We know what that word means. And it corrupts manners, good manners. Manners is actually it's a place of customary resort. It's where you go to rest. It's the idea of a settled habit of mind and manners. It's our deportment. It's who we are. Those good manners, those which think we are accompanied with and we're aware of all the time, acquainted on a regular basis, evil communication will corrupt good manners. Proof? A couple weeks ago, when it goes from here out to there, I didn't even think of it. I mean, it didn't even cut. It just came out. I have no idea where it came from. And I don't talk like that. I haven't talked like that for years. But evil communication corrupts good manners. What was part of Lot's problem? Seeing and hearing every day the things that they did. And it messed with his heart and his spirit, didn't it? Tormented him. Let's look at a related verse. Hopefully this is the right place. Revelation chapter 18. Revelation 18. There's a voice coming from heaven. It says in verse 4, and it says, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. So God's pouring out wrath upon Babylon and judgments there. But he says, come out from among her. You won't be judged with her, and that you be not partaker of her sins. That word partakers. Do not be partakers. The word means to be a joint partaker of or to participate with a person. In the New Testament scriptures, it's the application of to mix oneself up with in a thing. To involve one's self with. And so since Brother Kevin helped me out, I'm going to pick on Brother Kevin. Brother Kevin's going to go rob a bank. I'm going to drive him to the bank and let him go in. Then I involve myself with that, don't I? I'm participating in that. He says, come out and do not participate with that. As you go to Romans chapter 16, some Christians have told me in times past about, well, we're free, we're liberty, we can do this, we can do that, we can go in here, we can go in there. Liberty speaking, yes, you can, but boy, it sure is not wise, and it's not discretion. Do not participate. We're even told in the Thessalonians to avoid the very appearance of evil. Even if it looks bad, stay away from it, let alone participate. So don't participate in them. Sin, why? Because sin will have an influence. It will. Well, I can go to that party and they're all drinking, but I don't drink. I just drink a Coke. It'll influence you, I guarantee you. It will. That's what sin will do. I've asked you to turn to Romans 16. The third point is Christians don't have to experience everything. You know, I find this with young people. They think, oh, I've got to get all the gusto of life. I've got to try everything. Paul said this, Romans 16, and in verse 19, the last part of the verse, he says, I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to investigate everything. You don't have to try everything out. When I was a kid, I almost tried drugs because I was curious. And I thank God He prevented me from it. You don't have to know about evil. You don't have to go investigate it. Just stay away from it. You know what's wrong. That's what Paul says. I would have you wise concerning that which is good. It's simple. You don't want to have to know all the details of that which is evil. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, a few pages over. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the fourth biblical exhortation I submit unto you is that Christians should separate from sin and sinners. Not altogether of the sinners of this world, because we've got to go out of the world in order to do that. But I don't have to go to the bars with them, and I don't have to run with them, and I don't have to go to their parties, and I don't have to do what they do. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us very clearly in verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You know, there's an Old Testament statement to the children of Israel concerning this very matter. Let me read Isaiah 52, verse 11. Depart ye, go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. As a Christian, as a righteous man, go out from among them. Be separate. Do not touch the unclean thing. Ephesians chapter 5. Turn over there. Point number 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 11. The Apostle Paul, in his practical applications of the church at Ephesus, makes this statement. Verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Christians are not to interact with sin. Don't have fellowship. Now, it's interesting, is this word fellowship here, do you know it's the same word that was the word I just mentioned to you over in chapter 18 of the book of Revelation in verse 4, where there it was translated as partakers. Do not be partakers with those things. So don't mix yourself up in those things. This is the same word here. It's just translated as fellowship. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. James chapter 4, point number 7. James 4. We saw this verse not too long ago, but just a reminder that Christians are exhorted to be sanctified. May God grant us grace to be sanctified. Verse 8, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. What are we told in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Does God desire His people to be separate, to be sanctified? Yes, He does. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 reminds us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. One last verse, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Christians are exhorted to be sanctified. May God grant us the grace to do that. May we look into our lives and see, what is this that's impacting me? Why is this affecting me? Last thing is this, Christians are to be influenced by the right things, not the wrong things. So in 4:8 it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. See, that's the kind of things we ought to put around us. And so I've given you the exposition of the text, and some biblical exhortation about worldly influence. Let me close by making these statements. First of all, we must acknowledge the truth that the world influences us. It does. It does. Number two, we must examine our lives and search out those things which are inappropriate and remove them. I know that's not easy, But we need to do that. Number three, we must scrutinize even those things which we deem acceptable. I said I would mention a few categories. We'll just do this in passing. Yeah, those, we accept things that we would never have read before, we'll read today. Those things that are the written word, newspapers, books, or magazines. There was a time you wouldn't have looked at that and you wouldn't have bought that magazine, but now you will. You wouldn't read a blog like that 10 years ago, but now you read it all the time. We must scrutinize those things which we read. We must scrutinize our music, the things that we listen to. That impacts you. The words are going right into your heart and your soul. Recognize the music itself and the words will have an influence upon you. It will. You need to search that out. You need to search out our television and the movie viewing. Those things that you watch on TV, those things you see in the movies. And I could give all kinds of things, but you can make distinction there. We need to be discriminate. Our associations and friends. Who we hang around with, who we spend time with. The social media. I'll tell you, you know, somebody say, well, I have 700 friends. Well, good, you don't even know 655 of them, but you got 700 of them, and they put all their stuff on there. And I hate going down Facebook, and I'll see the curse words and not hear it. That offends me when somebody posts curse words on those things. It's offensive to me. Of course, you can't help it. You're scrolling down. All of a sudden, you see the word, and you just keep right on scrolling. Social media. Our computer searches and internet viewing. I mean, we could go on and on. I could give you specific examples if I wanted to really just attack. There's no reason to attack. I'm just giving the categories. You can figure that out, can't you? May God grant us grace. I close by saying this. We must be on guard against the subliminal, not just the overt, but the subliminal influences of the world and strive to overcome sin's impact. As Pat Morley said, I quoted him earlier, but he said, perhaps the only way to overcome this dilemma is to reevaluate our sources of environment and information. It's so subliminal that what we need to do is see, hey, what's getting to us that we haven't recognized as getting to us? Reevaluate that, and if we need to, make some changes. So that we would not be impacted by that word or the written or the movie, the image, the music, the associations. If I need to, I will quit that job. I don't expect that to happen, but I will. May God grant us grace to be aware of this worldly influence and cause us to be drawn to Him. We need His grace. We need His mercy. Let's stand. I hope that you've seen my heart today and the intent of which these things are offered. It comes out of personal experience. May God just help us. The song's number 438. Father, bless your word. Teach us and guide us by your Spirit. Cause us to love you more and more. And let us be wise concerning that which is good and simple concerning that which is evil. Let us come out from among them and be separate, even those things which we allow to come into our homes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 438.